appreciate the song, Mark. It's great. I think you always do a phenomenal job. Not just singing it, but the songs you pick out are really just, to me, just wonderful, heartfelt truth. And, you know, you sing a lot of songs about Christ and God, but the ones that really mean something are the ones that's actually absolutely true. It's like a lot of people can preach Christ, but the ones that really mean anything, the ones that's truth, is the ones that preach Christ according to the Bible. Man. And preach Him not just according to the Bible, but according to rightly dividing and dispensational truth also today. Titus chapter 1, talk about eternal life this morning. Titus chapter 1, we'll give you a few minutes here to get there in your King James Bible. Eternal life is something we've all looked at and talked about. It's, I think sometimes we take for granted that that's what we have in Christ, is eternal life. The believer has eternal life in Christ. That's a guarantee. If you don't want to do anything about it, the devil, the world, or the government, principalities or powers, things present or things to come, nothing can do anything about your life in Christ. If Christ is alive, then the believer is alive also. If Christ is in heaven, we are told in Ephesians 2 and 6, so is the believer. We are in heaven also. And so we're going to talk about eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Paul mentioned here the commandment he's been given, the calling that he's been given to see, to preach the gospel he's been given to preach. It has to do with the eternal life, thank God, that was with the Lord before the world began. It was with the Lord, given and promised to those who would trust Christ according to the gospel which Paul would preach. Eternal life. The Bible speaks of eternal life, of that which is true and available to all mankind, thank God, on the behalf of what Christ has accomplished for all mankind through death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not your death, nor your burial, nor your resurrection that we trust in. We trust in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. When you come to the grace of God and the dispensation of the grace of God and the gospel that we know, thank God, saves us today, not of works, but according to His mercy and His purpose given in us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you will. Let's go there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in your King James Bible, just a couple pages over in my Bible. And so this eternal life is something that we have that God has promised to those through Christ. You know, that life that was promised before the world began, and so the message of the grace of God that Paul preached rests in the very reality, the root of it is the very hope of eternal life. That's the gospel that Paul was given to preach. The very gospel of the grace of God has to do with God giving, making available, and giving to those who would trust His Son. Eternal life. It's a guarantee, thank God, that He done for us. The gospel is not there to help you make you feel better. It's not there just to fill up the words in the Bible. But the purpose of God is life, to give eternal life. And that eternal life is through the gospel which Paul preached. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and a loving of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us. So Paul's talking to believers who trusted the gospel that he preached, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. The holy calling is God's calling. That's why it's holy, set apart. No one else could call you with the grace and the mercy of which God calls you. No one else can do that. It's His calling alone. It should be our calling as ambassadors and ministers of the gospel, right? As those of us, we are saved by the grace of God, trust of that. But when Paul says holy calling, that's God's calling. Thank God, it's a calling that does put you in Christ. It separates you from all other things in this life that could bring you down to trust anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, it's not according to our works, look what, but it's according to who? God's own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So this promise is Titus 1 and 2, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, as we read about, is eternal life. God promised before the world began, before the ages began, before anything ever happened, God had promised somewhere there that He was going to give eternal life. And then eternal life is manifested how? How do we know that? How did God manifest His eternal life and His purpose to us? Verse 10. But is now made manifest, revealed, by the appearing of who? Our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through what? The gospel. That life, this God's promise, has been brought to life through the appearing of who? Jesus Christ. You ever wondered why the Bible speaks of Christ as He speaks of Himself? In the book of John, He's always talking about the deity of Himself and the Father, right? How they're one in purpose, one in will, and how He became obedient unto death, here to do the Father's will, not His own. We see that in, that's why Christ could say again and again and again, just as John 11 and 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by whom? By me. That is the God, that's not the gospel, but Christ is. The hope of the gospel is in Christ. And we know it's in Him because He paid the sin debt. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and life for all of mankind. Not just for Israel and their new covenant and the hope that they have there, but for all the world through what Christ has done by the gospel Paul preached. That gospel Paul preached starts out with Romans 20:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that gospel of Christ has to do with Paul's preaching in the Acts ministry to those Jews and Greeks in the synagogues and Gentiles there. But that gospel of Christ has to do with just what Christ is, who He is. Who is Christ? So when Paul talks about the gospel that he preached, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, how a person is saved by believing that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture, was buried and rose again the third day according to Scripture, that's the gospel that saves, right? That is the one that saves today. But that same Jesus whom he's spoken about there is the same one that was spoken about in the book of John, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, in the book of Luke, except there's some mysteries revealed about Christ and what He did and the purpose God had for the world into the body of Christ before the world began. That has to do with eternal life, being in Christ. But Christ could never have accomplished that death, that burial, and that resurrection, trusting the Father would raise Him from the dead, Him paying the sin debt, He could have never accomplished that if He had not been born. And if He had not been obedient unto what? Death. Is it true that Christ was prophesied to be born of a virgin? It is. Was He not born of a virgin? Amen. Is it true that Christ did the miracles in the Bible and the Gospels, that everything He did there, is it not true that He did those things? Did He not walk on the water? Did He not raise the dead? Did He not make the blind to see and cleanse the leper from his leprosy? Sure, He did not make the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to talk. Did He do all those things? Yes, He did. But the greatest work that He ever done was the one where He paid the sin debt for all of mankind freely on the behalf of His Father and on behalf of His will. He gave Himself for us all. I love what Paul said in Galatians 2 and 20. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. All Christ in this Bible is true, and therefore it is also true that He paid the sin debt. It's also true that He died for all sin in all trespasses, not just one or two. And so, verse 10 in here, but now it's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So this Jesus that Paul preached is a Jesus, thank God, of this Old Testament and the New Testament and of the Jesus of Paul's epistles. That is who he's talking about. That life is Christ, and it's in Christ, and it's through Christ, and it's available to all mankind. Christ is that life. We must understand that. It's very important to know who Christ is. When someone says that you trusted Christ, and you say, well, I trusted Christ. That say, I trust Him as being the Son of God. Will I save you today? It will not save you. But nevertheless, it's true, is it not? It is. Look at Romans chapter 1. Notice how Paul puts this in context. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate into the gospel of God. So there's another gospel in your King James Bible. Another gospel along with many others. That's another gospel. What is this gospel? Look at verse 2. Which he, God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, and this concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the what? Resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel of God. It says that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, and that was proven by his resurrection from the dead. That's the gospel of God. But notice that I quoted Romans 1 and 16. Look what Paul says about this same Jesus. Romans 1 and 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. So he says there that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of God is not the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ is. And Paul developed that gospel of Christ from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 16. It talks about, but God commendeth love toward us in Romans 5 and 8, that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and 6, while we yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He develops what Christ is, not only who He is, but what He's done for us. And Paul, through Romans, mentions about the second Adam, sin that's taken care of, delivering us from the wrath of God, delivered us in the really into Christ, and talks about the body of Christ in Romans 12, the church, the body of Christ there. And see, so what I'm getting to here is what your Bible is getting to, what Paul is getting to is, Christ is the life. He is the life. Amen. He is the life. And when you're trusting Christ, you're trusting all about Him, but you're trusting a particular message Paul preached. And that is His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So, Christ is that life. Look at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5 in your King James Bible. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. One verse here I'm going to look at. And this is the record, John says, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in who? His Son. This eternal life is in Jesus Christ. You don't like that? Well, look at Colossians chapter 3. Many people talk about trusting Christ and believing Christ, but what Christ is and what He's done and what He's accomplished for you is the thing that you trust in. When we trust in Christ for who He is, but what He's done for us. What He's accomplished on our behalf. Look at Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. He is our life. Thank God. When I trusted Christ, thank God, I believe who His Bible says He is, and I believe what the Bible says He's done for me. He paid my sin debt. Therefore, He paid my sin debt, but all my sins and trespasses also, He paid for when He died at Calvary. And when God raised him from the dead, he secured that sin debt for all of mankind. All of mankind. When the Father raised him from the dead, thank God, and set him above all principality and powers, he paid that sin debt and those trespasses for the world, that the world could trust in that, in that very gospel Paul preached. The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13, you're trusting that to what? Eternal life. Eternal life. Love what Paul says, and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 in your King James Bible. Did Paul preach another Jesus? No, he didn't. But he preached a Jesus in his work that was previously hid. Mystery information given to Paul to preach. Did he not? Justification of faith. According to the body of Christ, where he's the head of the church. Colossians 1, verses 25, 26, 27, and so forth. But bear in mind, this Jesus who he's preaching, thank God he is everything in this Bible says he is, and he's done everything this Bible says he's done, and he will do everything this Bible says he will do. Well, so we can rest in the very fact that this Christ is not some stranger. We can rest in the very fact that this Christ is something God has spoken of for thousands of years. Thank God. And we can trust in this Christ that he did pay the sin debt for us. And he'll save and seal anyone today who trusts in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused to one husband, and I present you a chaste virgin in Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So Paul says, there's not another Jesus, not according to he preached. He preaches what? Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. But this Christ whom he preaches is the Christ that he is life. He is life. For the world, for the church, the body of Christ, and for Israel, for whosoever will come to him in their time, in our dispensation, they trust him. He is that. He is that life. Look with me, 2 Timothy. Just put it this way. Let's let Paul tell us. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, Paul speaking to Timothy. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in who? The Holy Scriptures. Paul's epistles are Holy Scriptures. This Bible is Holy Scriptures. So when I hear about, well, would you just trust Christ? So I'm going to go, well, who is this Christ? Say, I'm a far-off Gentile. I'm an Ephesian and Colossians, which we all are. I haven't sat in them synagogues and heard about the promise of Abraham. If someone would say, well, let me tell you about the promise of Abraham, I'd go, what? Why do I want to hear about Abraham? So if I was to come up here and tell you before you trusted Christ the promise of Abraham and things, you wouldn't understand until Paul brought it out. You realize if Paul hadn't brought out Galatians 2, 3, and 4, and Romans 4, we wouldn't know nothing about Abraham. It doesn't mean nothing to us. Other than one verse, Genesis 15, 6, and Paul brings that out. See, mystery information again, Paul brings out. And so we see here that someone say, well, Brian, trust in Christ. I say, well, who is this? Well, let me tell you who he is. Let me tell you about his virgin birth. Let me tell you about his sinless life. Who knew no sin, he did not sin. Amen? You believe that? How could someone believe that and not believe that he paid the sin debt? Which is greater? Believe that Christ is sinless or that Christ died for all your sins? Past, present, and future. That Colossians 2 and 13, that he's forgiven you all trespasses. Which one's greater? Both the same, aren't they? But people pick and choose. It's like the Lord and the blind man. They came there to the house. The Lord was there healing in the book of, was it Mark chapter 2? I'm sorry. I apologize for my ignorance, my poor memory. And so they were going to let a lame man in there, and they couldn't get through the door. And so they let him down through the roof. You remember the story? And the Lord looked at him. He didn't say, rise up, walk, but he said that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And then he says, I send thee, arise, take thy bed and go forth. And he arose. But he said, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Do you know who knew that? The only two people knew that that man was forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ and the lame man. The rest of them were like, what? Did he just say what I thought he said? But they would easily believe that he's lame and got up and walked out of the room, right? Well, look at that. That's God in the flesh. That's God. Well, look what God done. That's where the world is. Look what God done. See what he did. But only two people would know that that man was forgiven. Christ and the lame man could say that I'm forgiven. Why? Because Christ said I was. So that's the Christ of the Bible. That's the Christ whom we believe, and that's the Christ that paid the sin debt at Calvary, died for us. So Paul says, from the Holy Scriptures, you'll know that they'll make you wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We believe Jesus, don't we? So I can believe this Jesus, listen, who walked on the water, and when the storms were there, Peter and James and John, they were all fear. They were fishermen, were they not? Could you imagine the type of storm it was there that they would wait, Jesus, we're going to perish, Lord. Could you imagine the storm is on the sea at that time? These are professional fishermen. And that storm was so rough. I'm sure they've been in storms. But this is so rough. They said, well, I can see Peter. I ain't waking him up. John, you go wake him up. I can see him arguing over that. Right? But they wake him. And the Lord just says three words. Peace be still. That's the Jesus who committed his life to the Father and who died for our sins. Was buried and believed that the Father would accept his blood and will raise him from the dead the third day. He said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it again by the power of God. That's the one. Now, you talk to me about that. He's not a stranger, but you still have to believe the gospel Paul preached, don't you? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Christ is the life. And that life that is in Him, He's given to all who will come and trust Him. Ephesians 1:13, Paul says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption, the purchased possession, the praise of His glory. Heard the gospel. Have you heard how Christ died for your sins? Have you heard He was buried, reconciled you to God through His death? Have you heard how that God raised Him from the dead the third day in the justification of life? And every man and boy, woman, boy and girl, their sin debt's paid, and you can believe and trust Him today as Savior that He is. And in that you have life. See, Paul says, look at 2 Timothy. Let's go by 2 Timothy, chapter 1, if you will. 2 Timothy, chapter 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, Paul says, and we'll see here, verse 9. Paul says, who saved us, God, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Look at verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. So the question is, what did Paul commit unto Christ? His faith. He says, for which cause I'm not suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. So everything Paul done for the ministry of the body of Christ is found upon Christ's, I know whom I believed. I've committed all my ministry, my very life itself, unto Christ. I believe in him. I believe what he is. I believe what he's done. Paul done said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I've committed to him my faith, my belief, and my trust. I'm asking, have you done that? Have you committed unto him your faith, your belief, your trust to Christ? That's the power of the gospel. As I was saying to the gentleman in the back, we were talking about that. You know, when you trust Christ by the gospel, you're believing that Christ died for your sins, every single one of them. That now there's nothing standing in the way of God saving you and you trusting the Lord other than your unbelief. That's all. Sin's not separating you from God because he's took that away. Sin, who you are as a sinful man, a person, you can't do nothing about who you are, right? You can't change that, but you can change the one thing that we can change is who we are going to believe. That's the one thing we can change. You can change that. That's the only thing you can change is believing that. So Paul says, I believe that, and he trusts that, manifest, appearing. So Paul here is talking about the only thing that we can do, the only thing that we should do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ is that life. I love what Paul says. That life is in Christ committed to him. Eternal life. Look at Philippians chapter 1 in your King James Bible. Paul gets personal here with himself. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 18, Paul says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Rejoice what? Christ is preached. You can't question a man's faith and a person's faith and belief and trust in Christ if you think that. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, meaning his deliverance from prison, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. That's very personable for Paul. He trusted Christ, that life, that gospel. He believed Jesus Christ. And he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. That's what he's committed to him. And that's what we, when we come to Christ and trust what he's done for us, thank God, we can say the same thing. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's an absolute truth in your King James Bible. It's interesting when I ask folks, and they say, well, I've trusted Christ. Well, my question is, when I hear those things, is why? Why would you trust Christ? And I ask you, can you really answer that? You should be able to answer that. So why would you trust Christ? Why would you trust Christ, right? Why would you? Yeah. I mean, we as believers, saved, we know why we trusted Christ, don't we? Why should I trust Christ? So, Paul says here, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. The life that's in Christ. And it's hard for us, as mere mortals, to grab a hold of this reality. It's hard for us to grab hold of the reality of eternal life. That I'm living forever somewhere. Well, I'm living forever in heaven. How about you? You say that this morning honestly with yourself? That I'm going to heaven? That I have eternal life? Can you honestly admit to yourself that that's true? So Paul says to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Let's continue on. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, Paul says, if I live down here in this flesh, then it's the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I will not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul has a desire to depart to be with Christ. It's because eternal life with Christ. You know, of all the things I've heard, of all the things in this Bible that it teaches us, thank God, you know, Brother Steve says it, I say it, most anyone I've heard, it's like, we know so little about heaven. You know? So little. I've heard someone say, well, if he talked about it too much, we all won't go out and stand in traffic. You know? I don't know about all that. I have no desire to die that way. But so little, but nevertheless, we believe it. We believe what it says. And so Paul says those things. Nevertheless, look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in your King James Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, so Paul gives them exhortation here. I want to read verse 5. We'll pick up at verse 5 if you will. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. So Paul he's in prison, he's fixing to lose his head. Paul's literally facing death at that time, the end of his ministry and things. But I don't read gloom and doom right there, do you? Do you read gloom and doom right there? I read, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And every day I live in this life, I see suffering and pain and grief and a sense of loss, and we experience those things. But in those things, I still know that I have eternal life. There's nothing that can separate me from that. Nothing that can separate me from God. Nothing that can separate me from what He is and what He's done for me. Nothing can change that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in your King James Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So Paul's exhortation, I don't want to read all these verses, verse 1 and 2 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, sin then are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know what? I have a theory. You want to hear my theory? I really think religion today, they teach works for the most part, and they always want to be bound up in doing something as if you have a check mark. In the good side more than the bad side, whatever that, and that's their definition of their goodness and badness is up to them. I can't define that. It's different everywhere you go, correct? But I think they're there, and they really don't have eternal life because they really haven't trusted Christ. If you really trust Christ and know what you have in Christ and know what He's done for you, know what you've accepted in the Lord and what He's done for you, you will never again in your life ever question the fact that you have eternal life. You would never do that. The devil himself could appear unto you and say, listen, you don't have life. You could look at the devil and say, you're a liar. I do have eternal life. Now you know how Joshua felt. You're a liar. I have eternal life because you know whom you believed. So, I think religion today, they have not trusted the gospel, their salvation. They have not believed Christ and what He's done for them. Therefore, they're always looking, always searching. They're leading a feeling. They need a good time. They have to do something to feel something, to see something, to hear something. When all along, is something that God said they had and that they can't do for themselves. And all you've done is believe that. That's all I've done. God requires a lot of things in the Bible when it comes to the gospel of Christ. There is only one thing that you can bring to the table that God would accept. You know what that is? Your faith. Your belief. That's the one thing. Everything else you come to that is dung before God. And so Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 4, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in" where? The face of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, when you see Jesus Christ and all He is has done for you, let me tell you something. All of God's glory and power was revealed in His Son when? When He done the work of redemption. When He done the work of reconciliation. When He done the work for justification for all of mankind. And that didn't happen and fulfilled. That could not be preached. Now, I apologize for going over here. We're not going down that road. That could not be preached and been taught until God raised Him from the dead. And set Him above all principality and power. Ephesians 1, and gave Him a name that's above every name. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So Paul goes on, verse 7. Look what Paul, all this glory and power we have in our body, in this fleshly body, look what else. Verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Paul says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh." So Paul's talking about he has this hope of glory and eternal life and assurance in Christ by the gospel. He has that, but at the same time, in the same body, he's experiencing what? Persecution, trouble, despair, the forsakenness, cast down, feels destroyed. He has this hope in his earthly vessel. And so when we experience grief, do we not? I heard someone say once, "Well, it's a shame for a Christian to cry about another believer who's died and went to heaven." Well, you don't know your Bible then. Because there's a time for weeping. Do you know who else wept because of the sadness and the compassion that he had for his friends? You know who else wept? Yes. The shortest verse, is it the shortest verse in your Bible? I read that and never looked it up. John 11:35, the Bible said Jesus wept. Why wouldn't he? Isaiah 53, was it 5? He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. This is the man who's the resurrection. He was on his way, folks, to raise Lazarus from the dead. Amen. And he shows up, and people are doubting. Well, Mary says, "Well, I know you're going to raise him at the last day." Jesus says, "I got news for you, Mary. That I am the resurrection and the life. And you're going to see the glory of God today." And he cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happened? That's exactly right. That Bible ain't going to lie to you. He that was dead came out. Thank God. Yeah. And so Jesus wept, and so we weep. And so the same body, folks, that we have, we experience loss and pain and grief, and mourning, and sorrow, even despair sometimes. But in this same body, in this same vessel, we also have hope and assurance and peace and power and glory and Christ and joy. We have the same thing in this body. And that's because of Christ, for what He's done for us. And that's the eternal life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the blessing and eternal life, but we're still in the flesh. You see what Paul said? I'm in the strait betwixt the two. Having a desire to depart, be with Christ, just as far, but it's need for me to abide with you in the flesh. He said, I still got some things I need to tell you and help you along the way. But Paul says, but I'm in the strait betwixt the two. In the flesh, right? We experience those things in this earthen vessel. Christ did. Why should the head of the church not feel the same as the members? It's the same. He feels those things. Hebrews 4 says he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Well, we know who Hebrews talked to, not us, but it's still he was touched with the infirmities of mankind. Christ experienced what? Hunger? Did he not curse the tree? He experienced thirst. He experienced anger. Did he not? When he made a cord and drove them out of the temple? Yes, he did. And he experienced meekness and humbleness by the experiences of the death and sufferings of the cross. And so do we. We are not above our Savior. We are not above our Master. We are not above our head. We are not viewed as slaves in the eyes of God, folks. You're not viewed as tools or toys, but we are viewed as God's creation. We are viewed as someone that God created and someone that God loves. That's what we're viewed as. And when you're saved and trust the gospel, the grace of God, you're viewed as members in Christ's body. Paul tells Colossians that we are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. Does it get any more personable than that? It can't get no more personal than that. We are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. We are. The members are. We're not viewed as slaves and tools and things of that nature, but we are viewed as someone that God loves, that someone has showed love and compassion to by the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary. We're viewed as that. Look at Romans. Let's stop in Romans. Romans 5, and Paul says, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly is not going to give glory to God. You've read the Bible. You said the Bible says God created all things in Romans 2, but you don't believe it. Well, that makes you ungodly. Yeah, I ain't no God. What are you talking about? I've heard God's commandment and word unto me, right? I don't believe God. Well, you're ungodly. You sat in the church service for years, and yet you still don't believe there's God. Why are you there? Ungodly. But while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards us. Now while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do you know God loves you? Christ died for you. That's the only reason you know. That's the only reason the world knows is that he died for you. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So we're saved from wrath through him. So we are someone God loves, and we're viewed that way in God's eyes, and he paid the debt for every one of us. And I'm going to tell you right now, you might be separated, feel like you're separated sometimes by grief and mourning and trials and things. You may feel like you're separated, you know. And the world, and the God of this world, the age is blind the minds. This will believe not that they could separate the world from the gospel that saves from Christ, what he's done for you. But you know what cannot separate you? What will never separate you? What will never separate the world from God? You know what the one thing is that will never separate you from God? You know why that is and what that is? It's the love of God. That'll never separate anybody. I don't care if you're a sinner, saved by grace. If you're a sinner and ain't been saved, His love will never separate you from Him. Huh. Never thought about it that way. Well, you're right. You probably haven't. Look at Romans chapter 8 and we'll stop. Looks like I'm going to be right on time. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but what? Delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Let me say, what do you think God thinks about you? Well, I hope you can put it all aside now. Put it all aside. All right. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate the world, much less the believer. Paul says that God is the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. All men have a Savior, but all men are not saved. So the gospel is just simply this. The salvation is the goal of the gospel, is eternal life. The intent, the purpose of the gospel, the grace of God Paul preached, which we believe, is to raise up hope, faith of the mind and of the conscience and of the thoughts of every man, woman, and boy and girl to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to heaven and eternal life. That's the purpose of the gospel. Because that is salvation, is eternal life in heaven with the Lord. That's the purpose of it. Nothing else could turn your mind to God the Father in the heaven other than the love of God and the life in Christ and what He's done for you. Nothing else can do that. That's the purpose of the gospel. So, my prayer, my hope is for you today, under the sound of my voice, that you trusted Christ. To trust Christ is to have eternal life. And may I say this, and I end about every teaching I ever do with this. The most important decision you ever made in your life is not who you're going to marry. It's not what your insurance company is, or not where you're going to go to school, or your investments in 401ks, or where you're going to live. The most important decision in your life, well, that echoes throughout eternity, is what are you going to do with Christ and what He's done for you? And that's a decision that only you can make. Not me. Not God. Don't ask God. God done did it. Only you can make that decision now. To believe is to have life. To not believe is a certainty of eternal death. God bless you. Thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. I know Steve and him had a good time up there in the conference. Been reading that they've had a good time. I always do. I didn't make it up there. Brother Donnie asked me, and I had to stay close to home this time. But I sure do miss it. I like being around them all. God bless you. Y'all have a wonderful afternoon. Take care of yourself.